This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Speaking of the meeting, there was a lot more people than there usually is yesterday.
Because it was Aaron's first meeting.
Yeah. It's the whole try-hard thing.
It is. But I'm good with that. Like, Aaron, like, Miller, our guy, he's trying to build something. Like,
shout out to our guy, Aaron Miller, man.
Yeah,
man.
Aaron's cool, man. I rock tough with Aaron Miller. That's man. My he's good people.
Yeah.
And his meeting was efficient.
It was.
It was less than a half hour.
That meeting went so long because Katie read the hearts.
Yeah.
Other than that, we was good.
Look, Aaron Christie out here just in our practice and getting out.
We're loose and free out here at Odyssey. Oh man, that's crazy. She was Mike Brown, huh? Oh man, boy, we got Doug Christie running the team now.
Aaron Christie, we get in, get our work done, and we're moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Not standing here talking about a help defense for 40 minutes.
Oh man, and here we go. Zabo said it. Odyssey on a 7-game win streak right now.
Who's gonna demand a trade?
Well, it's gonna be star. So it's you.
No.
It's gonna be Kenny.
You have a name, Kenny?
Uh-oh. You gonna text it? Oh man, he gonna text the name.
Ain't better be careful.
I want to be clear. You know, whatever you text, I'm gonna say it out loud.
No, you better not. You better not. Yeah.
Okay. Never.
Yeah, you better relax.
Oh, that's facts. Oh, there's a trade request coming into Odyssey.
So the Kings lost yesterday. I don't even want to touch that one.
Hey, Abe ain't getting traded. Abe's the fantasy football, the pocket watching champion of the world.
No, he's not.
He can't get traded.
No, he's not. I'm the defending
champion. Abe did have the belt. It was Yokozuna, the whole Yokozuna thing at WrestleMania.
Yep, that's what it was.
I'm the defending champ. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Oh, man. That trade request is going to be tough.
Let them know if this happens. This is what you know where I stand.
Mm-hmm. Well, the similarities are kind of crazy, too. The similarities are kind of crazy.
No, man, it ain't. If it ain't Q1227, bro, it's over.
You know what? I don't want to play radio right now. I don't want to play radio no more.
Oh man. Kenny in the weeds.
I'm just here.
I'm clean on this one.
I'm just Keegan, I guess.
Yeah, I guess
I'm just
so.
Keegan.
Uncle Keegs. Uncle Keegs, Austin nephews.
You know, I guess I'm gonna defend this until the my dying days. Last night after the Kings lost, I typically didn't want to watch any sports. Like, you know how that goes. Kings or Niners lose, sports are done for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I went downstairs, and it was on NBA TV. And I got hooked because they had a dunk contest marathon.
Mm.
The dunk contest is I know there are a lot of people who are out on the dunk contest, but I equate it a little bit to boxing. Like, it's bad or you don't know what's going on 90% of the time. But if it's a big fight, like if you get word like, oh, dunk contest was popping, like it's still the attraction. I remember they tried to change it to the 3-point contest one time at the end. Nah, man. The dunk contest is.
We haven't had a big fight in like 7 years, though.
No. Ryan and Tank.
I'm talking about the dunk contest.
Well, I mean,
when was the one I watched last night was Derrick Jones Jr. And what constitutes a great dunk contest? Does it have to be two people or is it one person doing an amazing performance?
You need stars.
It could be one amazing performance in my mind.
Because Derrick Jones Jr. was crazy. That was a while ago. That was Chicago. That was when Kobe died. So that was 19, I guess.
Was Kobe passed? Because Kobe passed in 2020.
Well, no.
January of 2020.
It might have been 21 then. Because it was in Chicago. And they had the Kobe Elam ending. Okay. It was 2020. We still had the All-Star game that year. So
right, it was weeks after.
Yeah. So they had the 24-point Elam ending.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Jones Jr. was crazy.
Mm. Yeah, I'll take that back. I'm wrong. You don't need stars, but you do need names. Like Mac McClung, like that's fine. Throw him in there. He can be the honorary guy every year. But the other three, like that's not going to work. And I feel like the way they do it now, where it's just dunk till you make it, basically, or whatever. To this time runs out, it just doesn't. It's not good anymore.
So one of them that was on last night was who was dunking? I think it was Dwight Howard and Nate Robinson in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
You were probably there for that one, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Is that when Nate jumped over him? Was that when Nate was ready to fight?
No, that was Dallas. That was Dallas because that was Magic Johnson's pool tournament. That was the Black Ice.
Gotcha.
That's where we were going.
Dallas,
yeah.
That.
So I almost died on my way to get into a fight with some guy who was playing pool with Nate Robinson.
And Nate Robinson, your boy to this day.
That's my man, Nate Robinson.
But it was Dwight versus Nate Robinson,
who just had a kidney,
kidney
transplant.
Yeah, man.
Transplant.
Shout out to him, man, because that was scary. The kryptonite one and everything. So LeBron is courtside, you know, doing, you know, the NBA All-Star thing, and he's watching and everything. And at the end of it, Cheryl Miller goes over to LeBron and goes, LeBron, just want to let you know that guy over there, Kenny Smith, he is requesting that you be in the slam dunk contest. And LeBron goes, I'm saying right now, in a preliminary state, I will be in next year's dunk contest.
I remember that.
Bro, I'll never forget that. Like, that was a moment. That. Like, LeBron, LeBron lighted all of our faces before we knew he was a liar. Yeah, that was a moment.
Hey, that was our first time.
I remember watching. Like, I remember that.
He was like, no, put me in preliminary right now. I am in the dunk contest next year.
Man, lied to us. To our faces.
Didn't do nothing. Scout Recycler, excuse me.
Oh my God, that was so stupid.
Says, any shirts? Oh, you got, Aaron's
do
got
I need
shirts
a
for
shirt?
You guys?
No. What? I don't need a shirt.
Yeah, just leave one. No, leave one there for me.
No, he's not leaving those for us. He's just coming in to say hi.
He's pretending, act like he's not here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Aaron comes in and goes, I'm watching you. Oh, pretend like I'm not here, though.
They don't know. You can't walk in the studio.
You know,
like, you're not going to be an object acknowledged
on
the show.
What show do you think this is?
Like, you walk in the studio like, oh, so-and-so is here right now.
Like, if I was quick enough, I would have put you on camera. Like, this isn't your regular little
safe.
Button up. Like, we're not Matt Nahegan over here. Like, if you walk in, you walk past the studio, yo, what is your problem? You guys, come on camera and talk.
Aaron walked in with some shirts. They always got shirts for you guys.
Oh, yeah. I get me, but turns out they're not for us.
Yeah, I guess not. I thought it was.
Wanted us to know he was watching, and now I think he left.
I thought I was getting an alt shirt.
Well, everybody got the alt shirt except old D'Lo and KC.
No, I didn't get one. I got a KSFM beanie, though.
Nice.
One of those off the couch.
Okay. Very good.
Scout Recycler said.
That was me, my bad.
Didn't Blake jump over a car?
Jumped over.
He did. And
Kobe Bryant jumped over some snakes.
Blake's was more real than
Blake,
that.
No, it was not.
What do you mean?
No, Kobe's genuinely jumped over like the hood of a Kia.
Yeah, but Kobe's was fake. Yeah, Kobe's was fake.
And so was Blake.
No, that wasn't that happened. Blake's what are you talking about? That happened.
That was a difficult dunk?
Okay, jumped over the hood of a car. Go try and jump over the hood of your car right now.
I'm not Blake. despite what y'all be talking. I'm not Blake. Okay.
It was embellished a bit, but he still jumped over the car.
That was a difficult dunk.
It was.
Yes.
But.
Maybe I need to watch the replay. Though, is there an HD version of this dunk?
Be careful. I don't know. You might be looking at the Jerry West. You don't know what you're seeing. But the moral of the story after that, though, is as I watched that dunk contest last night.
Standard definition.
The Blake was kind of mid, bro.
What do you mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was terrible. It wasn't good. It was absolutely not good.
That was kind of weak.
Bringing this stupid-ass car out.
So you agree?
That Baron Davis. Come on, Jesse.
It's not fake, though. No, hold on. No, you're saying it's fake. It's not fake. It happened. He jumped over the car.
He didn't jump. He was so close to the car. When he dunked it, he just stood on the car.
Yeah, this is, I mean, that's true, too.
I'll
that's
put it on the screen.
That's true, too. Sorry, Blake. Let's get out of here. That's true,
to say
too.
Like
I'm not saying he jumped over, like, the top of the car or whatever, but, like, he did jump over a car. It wasn't fake.
He jumped over the side of a car. He didn't go over to the other side, though.
It wasn't impressive.
Wow.
It was not. I'm a run.
And you
watched this
somebody,
last night?
I watched it last night, and I was. His whole performance wasn't that good. You know who was? No, it was hella funny. Maybe if you can play the audio, man, because this is kind of funny. I was dying. Our boy
of him dunking.
Well, no, you check it out.
Okay, all right, relax, Angel.
JaVale McGee was in the dunk contest with him. He was in the finals, and like JaVale would go. There was two different times. JaVale went up for a dunk and missed it, and you could hear a pin drop in the arena. People. Where he had one where he like threw it into the stands and everybody, it was like the silence was the awkwardness, right? Like people were like, that was kind of whack, but didn't nobody say anything.
Bro.
He jumped over it. Well, he jumped over it.
Come on.
He jumped over the hood. That's fine. That's
stop
not
it.
Fake, though.
Stop
he
it.
Jumped.
Look, he's standing on the car.
Because he was swinging
back. Yeah.
The
if
car,
he let go, he would have finished.
The car wasn't even far enough back for him to fully have to jump over it. Part of the car was under the rim.
Well, he wanted to be evil.
He would have
like, yeah,
finished
fine.
On the ground.
Yeah.
He was just hanging on the rim.
So this is a good dunk.
It's a good
All
dunk.
I'm saying is it's not
a good
fake.
Dunk. It's a good dunk. It's not great. It's not great.
That's okay, bro.
It's not great.
Look, okay, I get it. Elk Grove Key, you're trying to get the Key endorsement. No, I get it. No, it was super, really great when Blake jumped over Kia.
We got the dunk expert Damian Balling over here.
Look at this.
I mean, look, he goes up and over this.
Yeah, he goes
Stop
over it.
It. Stop it.
He does go over the car.
Hey, you guys keep saying
he went over the car. Okay. Look, he had some room to spare, too.
He had some room to spare because he lifted his legs up.
The chat.
That's part of it.
Watch. He's up. Well, let me fold my legs.
Ooh.
Incredible.
Man. Stop
well,
it.
No,
I'm just
you,
kidding.
Stop
it's not
it.
Good.
You settled
he jumped
it.
Over it, though, is all I'm saying. No stop one's saying it was great, but he jumped over it. Dame's trying to act like it was Kobe jumping over the car. That's not it.
No, Kobe jumping over the snakes.
No, this. Oh, my goodness. This is the one.
Oh, well, yeah. This is the one.
Mercy.
Yeah. This,
Lord
this
have
right
mercy.
It, no,
it's,
I know. We're going.
It's safe to say this is.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
The greatest one of all time,
correct? I think so. Yeah.
Because I know, I mean,
Neek and Jordan are the only other one in the conversation.
I was there for Neek and Jordan. I was there, and I remember I was hyped and going back. Like Jordan, when Jordan does the kiss the rim to this day, I don't know who can do the kiss the rim like Jordan.
Crazy.
Like he's leaning, it's crazy. But that LaVine Gordon, yeah, obviously I watched that last night. Oh my goodness, Zach LaVine might be the best dunker of all time. He might be the best dunker of all time. I might.
He's better than Vince?
Yeah, I might put him ahead of Vince. Zach, what he was doing in that dunk contest. Now, there's kind of levels to it because Carter could go off of 1 foot and 2 foot. Zach could only jump off of one. Mike could go off of one and two. Zach could only jump off of one. But Zach LaVine might be the best in dunk contest dunker of all time.
Whew. All right, let's come back. That boy, Eddie Gonzalez, joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. We might as well just pick that conversation. Eddie Gonzalez
with,
would have said.
With
Eddie
a different tone. We won't go Shaq on it. We were talking about that.
Shaq was comedy last night.
We were talking about that during the break.
Shaq was comedy last night.
They're over it. It's over.
He's right. He said, well, we're getting fired anyways. Might as well keep it moving, which I don't think they are. But
no, you still got to work after.
You still have a job, sir.
I like the hoodie today, but
go.
Well, that's what he does.
Come on. He's talking to you.
Oh, I thought he was talking to you. Well, he's talking to you.
We the ones.
OG Bloodline. OG Bloodline. Wish they would have opened it up, man. That's my favorite.
They'd be back. You know, it's family.
Yeah.
Eddie was reading his mentions to us during the commercial break. Boy, your mentions be wild.
So what is it for... KD, or is it for the Drake, the tweet you had about Drake's album?
It's, matter of fact, let me tell you, because I ain't block him yet. It's about Drake's album. No, you know what? He's defending V's from Detroit, who I guess, this is not that serious. But anyway, I was telling y'all, I kind of like that people who don't know me think I'm like a goober. And then they see me outside, they meet me, and it's like, oh, yeah, you got to stand on that side of the rope. I'm sorry. You can't come over here.
Hey, hi.
You're not allowed.
As a matter of fact, get his ass out of the line. Yeah. He ain't even... can't even get in here, man.
Hey, Tweez. Them got to go.
Hey, man, 30 to 40 grand. Beat it.
You choose me right there, right in front of her.
Speaking of, it doesn't look like you're in San Francisco.
Nah, man, I'm at home. You know, I'm like baby blackballed in the industry, so.
Baby blackballed.
Come on. Would you, if you wanted to, would you... How do you feel about All-Star Weekend? You know, I know you've been to a few. You've been the parties and stuff like that. I have, like I told you last week, I've never been to the NBA part of it. I still kind of romanticize the dunk contest, All-Star Saturday night, all that other stuff. But what you think about All-Star Weekend NBA-wise?
I'm a plug my own work and say, yo, I had Jason Tatum on playback this week on stream with me.
Let's go.
Hey, that playback going crazy right now, too, by the way. Shut up.
He said, I would like y'all fellas to come one day. But he said, we need to get the athletic dudes back in it. We need to get the athletic superstars back in it. Mm. I said, oh, JT, you calling out Zion and Ja. And he's like, he's laughing. But it's falling off bad. It's falling off bad, and even Sunday, and now they got Kevin Hart. I'm not a Kevin Hart fan, so excuse me, but I don't need Kevin Hart yelling over the All-Star game. I'm fine
with
that.
What he'll be doing.
And he's going to be on the court. Yeah, I love New York basketball. I love, the playground basketball. But I'm talking about, that's cool at actual Rucker Park.
Right.
I don't want Kevin Hart cracking jokes about Giannis and trying to say, make funny about his name and all that. I actually just want them dudes to play basketball really good. Mm-hmm. That's enough for me.
Nope, you're not going to get that. You're going to get comedians and mini tournaments.
We not. And it's but as far as Saturday, I'm kind of happy Sabrina is sitting out. I'm happy Caitlin's sitting out. Let them dudes earn it, make it fun again. I miss, the guys used to care, you know? And it's just that simple to me. And I hate to be grumpy guy with fan as far as that goes, but they used to put forth effort in that. And Michael Jordan did the dunk contest multiple times. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to blame LeBron, but he was the first guy of that ilk to just not do it. And then it just stopped happening like that.
Yeah.
All of them dudes did it. Kobe did it. All of the guys of that ilk, a player, they did it when they were younger and it was cool. LeBron skipped it for whatever reason. It's fine. It don't mean he's not the GOAT or whatever, but he did kind of set a precedence with that. And it's just not the same anymore. It's just not the same energy. This is like back home and it's still not the same energy for me. I see a lot of my friends out there. It's a long weekend. It's super corporate now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is corporate parties, industry parties. Everything is sponsored, OD sponsored. We're rolling out our commercials. We're rolling out this. We're rolling out that.
Shoes.
Used to be about the game, man. Used to be about the game.
Yeah, it's not the case anymore.
Do you think there is somebody that can change, that can undo what LeBron did to All-Star Saturday Night? I'm with you. He's the GOAT. But him not doing it, it's almost, I talk about this on the show, Eddie. I don't know if you remember this movie, High School High. Remember Mekhi Phifer? The whole class would just look to see what he was doing. If he paid attention to the teacher, everybody get their books out. If he didn't, they would mess up. And LeBron was the Mekhi Phifer. Do you think there's somebody that can undo that?
First of all, of course I remember High School High. Come on.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You're a little younger than me. You're a little younger than me.
But second of all, it's tough because Ja Morant should have did it by now. Mm-hmm. Anthony Edwards is on record saying he don't care. He about to play the game left-handed and he don't want to do none of it and this, that, and the third. So it's tough. I mean, maybe if that next generation of guy gets into it, maybe Cooper Flagg wants to do it. Maybe AJ wants to do it. One of these guys, the Boozer twins, these level of star guys. But that's what it's going to take. It's going to take several years of guys just locking in and putting forth all that effort. But even when I talk to guys around the league, like, again, the week is so long. The weekend is so long. There's so much stuff to do. It's like by the time they get to Saturday or Sunday, like some people last year, they said LeBron showed up Sunday. You know what I mean? Like guys got the plane waiting as soon as the game is over so they could fly out and be gone. So it's just a lot. Now I know it's like, oh, poor $100 million guy, but it is a busy ass weekend now, and it's not even about the festivities anymore. I'm actually very interested, because obviously Turner is losing basketball this year. What happens going forward, and if the presentation will be much different, and how that will all be taken into account with it. But to answer your question, it's just the next generation of guys have to do it. Mm-hmm. They have to care. They have to want to do it. And even this current crop we're looking at, the current youngins, they're not locking in on it either. Last year, the most three guys trying the hardest was LeBron, Steph, and KD.
Mm-hmm.
And having talked to some of them, it's like, yeah, we try to give it a go that first couple minutes of the fourth, and then you look around, and everybody else is like, all right, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, they're shooting half-court shots, and they're playing around. It's like, I'm over it. So that's the energy that has been set for this for a while now.
And now they just keep adding, you know, the Kevin Hart edition, the tournament edition, like all of these, like, changes where – next, Run DMC gonna be on the floor next year. It's like, what are we doing? Like,
well, to that point though, they're doing that because these guys won't play.
No, I know. You know, like, I mean? Like, yeah, no,
if
I got
they played,
you.
All that stuff will go away.
Yeah, no, I got you. And like, now what's gonna happen is they're not gonna play in those games. Yeah. And it's just gonna become it's just gonna become a different circus rather than a bigger circus.
And you know, and they keep talking about international versus America, and maybe that lights it up for a year, like the Kobe rule did that in 2020, like maybe. But for the most part, I mean, Jokic and Luka were trying the least last year. Like they were messing up the bump more than anybody. So it's like, y'all could try that, but again, it just turns into the guys just have to care. The guys just have to care, and they just don't right now. That's just not the energy of the game right now.
You know what will be popping? And we'll never see this. We'll see LeBron in the dunk contest next year in LA before we see this. Mm. We'll see all the stars return to the dunk contest before this. Is if they got that one-on-one that unrivaled. That's the one. But we ain't
y'all
never
get so mad at one-on-one though, because if like Spencer Dinwiddie wins or something, like that's the group, the level of guy we gonna get, and then he wins, it's gonna be like, never mind. Like I'm tired of it. I do think a cash prize would help, but how big is a cash prize?
It'd be like if Virgil won the Royal Rumble. That's crazy.
Like, Virgil,
the number one contender at WrestleMania. Like, what is this?
See, and that's what we mess around and get.
Yeah.
Or just Giannis, just somebody just bigger than everybody. Just
don't let them be in the damn tournament. You got to be an all-star.
See, and that's the thing, though. I don't even know what motivates these dudes anymore, because you talk about a cash prize. Like, what's the number? What's the number?
Jason Tatum about to be making $60 million a year.
Right, like, what's the number where they're like, ooh, I'm going to do that.
Ruin my Saturday. I got parties to go to.
right. And, yeah, I can't – I don't think there's a number that these guys could play for, like, realistically, that they could play for.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, like, the cash prize is going to entice the mid-level guy. No disrespect to them, but –
Yeah, Keon Ellis going to win $5 million versus, you know, Jason Tatum going to win $5 million. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, so it's just needing some energy. And like I said, JT said, yo, the guys got to lock in. Because I'm like, you know, he's not doing anything this week. He's saying he wants to win a three-point contest eventually. He wants to try it again. Mm-hmm. He's done it twice. And he brought up the dunk contest. And he was just like, we have athletic dudes. Like, they got to lock in. You know what I mean? So it's pressure on them dudes, but again, there's almost no incentive, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
How many real contenders you think we got headed into the second part of the season?
I mean, you know, what's funny is that very last game we watched kind of made me think, like, wait, do we have another contender I'm forgetting about in the Minnesota Timberwolves? Like, that level they can get to on defense, you know, and they did that without Rudy Gobert against the Thunder. I think we have one true contender in the East. the Celtics. I'm very curious to see the Cavs. I like the move they made at the deadline, getting DeAndre Hunter. So we could say two, because you can't discount the number one seed. Y'all not going to like this, but let Luka and LeBron play for 20 games. I think we add them to the list.
No, I'm worried about that.
A little bit.
Yeah, we decided that's better than the Warriors.
Defensive issues to fix, but they get 20 games to do it. And at the end of the day, you got LeBron and Luka. Mm-hmm. And that's tough to match. I'm curious about the Rockets. Watched them a couple times this week, and, you know, some growing pains. They got some injuries, struggle a little bit in the half court. They're going to play. Have to play half court in the playoffs. So I think out west, you know, you can always gotta be scared of Jokic, number one seed. They proven themselves. The Thunder,
Murray's
looking at the Lakers, way, and Memphis. The way they play defense, man, same thing. And that's what playoff basketball is. So they play those two bigs. They can play small. They can play quote unquote small with Jaren at the center. That's a scary team over there too.
I like the Cavs.
Memphis is interesting. Yeah, I do. I like
I think the Cavs. Now, I wouldn't predict them to beat Boston. I'm still going with I think New York is making the finals. There's something, and I know Boston has the championship swag to them, right? The championship or regular seasons, whatever. You know, we'll just get to the playoffs. But something does feel a little off with them this year. Hmm. Doesn't mean they can't win. Doesn't mean – but just something's a little off. Like, they're not – they don't look as locked in to winning a championship the way they did last year. Then it almost feels like they're like – they think, oh, because we won, now we can carry ourselves this way, as opposed to being, like, laser-focused. And that might get them. That might get them this year. I think the Knicks got a real shot to get them this year.
Hmm.
I'm going to be biased me real quick before we move on. I just want to remind you, just because I went last Saturday, the Boston Celtics walked into the Garden, missing a couple guys. Jason Tatum lit them up, 40 points.
That first play.
Blowout win.
Crazy.
Blowout win. And he went insane. They just had nothing for him. Very interesting conversations about Karl-Anthony Towns after that game with many people. People saying that's the mouse in the house in a lot of ways on defense. I don't think them dudes worry about that team at all. I know they were missing OG, but you could look at Boston and say, well, we was missing this guy and that guy. And Jason Tatum, effortless 40. Then went to Miami 2 days later, the same thing. Them dudes just waiting. They just waiting until it matters, quote unquote, and trying to stay healthy. Now, if you're looking at the Celtics, you do want to say, okay, team's up for sales, probably gonna have a new owner pretty soon. They're creeping up on a historic tax bill, $500 million tax. They're about to be paying two supermaxes. What happens with that team this summer? That's the question you really ask. I'm not worried about them now, but I'm wondering what they look like in August.
Yeah, and, you have to win, right? Like, because I don't feel like you really question what you do if you win. I mean, of course, the new owner is a wild card. I don't think we've ever experienced with a team like this before.
I think, and it's just one of those. It's just a conversation that keeps coming up. Informed people just wondering, just asking, just kind of like, what do you think about this? Rubber might be hitting the road pretty soon with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown partnership. Not because there's any issues, not because they have any beef, just because new ownership is looking and saying, do we want to pay that much? If you could do that with Luka, could we get some stuff for Jaylen Brown? Could we figure out what we want to do? Because you're committing to $600 million essentially for them two guys for the next 5 years.
It's crazy.
A lot. So win or lose, I think some people will be nudging that. And then it's a dude who is looking to probably end up being traded this summer, slots right into that roster, plays similar style, loves to ISO, loves to switch on defense, championship level player. His name going to be mentioned a lot with them too, I think. So you're going to hear that a lot. You're going to hear that a lot. Where it goes, who knows? The new ownership might not care. They might just want to pay the tax and say, we won the championship. We're going out three. We're going out three with these guys, whatever. The other thing to keep in account with them is who is Kristaps Porzingis. $30 million expiring contract this year. Not this year, but next year.
Yeah.
Drew Holiday, huge contract, $32 million next season. He's got a long contract, and he has not been great this year, and he's going to be one of those contracts. 34 years old, people are going to be looking at him like, what can we do with that? With three more years of that, that's going to be tough to pay. So they got a lot of questions to answer, but I think they're good for right now.
Let me ask both you guys a scenario that I heard last night that it's actually interesting. It was from your boy, Bill Simmons.
Not my boy. I've never spent 5 seconds listening to him.
But this one was actually interesting, right? Mm-hmm. They were talking about OKC, and they were talking about all the draft picks that they have. And he was like, if they all hit, like all the, hey, if such and such finishes here, they'd have, like, I think 4 picks. I think they might all be in the lottery. Like, I think something crazy like that. And he goes, you look at the team, they don't need a lot, right? Like, they don't need a whole. He said, what's stopping them from taking all 4 of those picks and maybe one player and trying to trade for the number one pick and get Cooper Flagg? And I was like,
nothing.
I was like, so I think the Thunder would absolutely do it. Why not? If you were the Wizards, would you do that? You get like 4 lottery picks this year and Lou Dort for the number one pick.
This is a great draft. So this is the draft to do it. It's a deep draft. It's a lot of athletes, a lot of great talent that won't be number one. You know, mm-hmm. It might be number 4. You land on some franchise guys. And I think this is the year to do it. That's why a lot of people are kind of looking to the Nets like, you went about this all wrong. Like, next year's draft is fine, but you needed to hit in this draft right here too. If you're the Wizards, you're so far away. And if you're the Thunder, you're in a place where you're playing with house money. We can do whatever we want. They can do all that for the number 2 pick and take Ace Bailey or take Dylan Harper or Edgecombe or whomever they feel like is the guy who fits what they're doing the best. They could do some of that and get the 5 pick and get a guy they like. But, you know, the thing about hoarding all those assets is you can't draft all them guys. You quite literally cannot take 19 picks in 4 years. You just can't. So they have to do some version of that soon. What I think is curious about the Thunder is when these guys come up as the disgruntled stars or the stars that may be on the way out or whatever, they're very rarely in the rumors. They're very rare. When everybody was poking around like, hey, maybe they'll take a run at Giannis, it was pretty much like, no, they're not. We're good. We're fine here. It was like, y'all don't want Giannis? Same thing for KD. He was like, yo, are they going to make a run at KD? I was like, I don't think so, actually. They're not going to sacrifice Chet and J-Dub for KD right now. I'm like, damn, that's kind of crazy. But again, they're playing with house money. And I think it's because exactly what you and Bill Simmons are suggesting, that they're eventually going to cash in those draft picks. They're going to tell the dealer at the table, I'm going to go on this one right here. I'm ready to go.
I've said for a couple years now, semi-jokingly, but dead serious, I wouldn't trade for any of their picks. I would make them make all the picks and make all the roster. If I was there, I would conspire against them. Don't trade for any of their picks. Make them make the picks and figure out what they got to do with the roster. But I wouldn't trade for none of their picks. But obviously, all the first, all, need all is the one. Seconds,
nothing. Let them do it. Yeah. Let them figure it out. Like, they have to do something with that roster. Yeah. They can only draft so many 6'6" guys that they feel like they can make shoot.
Hell,
so,
Eddie, you can only have 15 people on a roster. Like, you're going to cut somebody, and I'll be there waiting.
I think the Nets are facing the same issue going forward, and the Jazz will be too. So it's funny the Jazz consolidated some picks this year with the Suns, because I think that's what you'll end up seeing from the Thunder as well. But there's a very real chance I think they trade up in one of these drafts and just like take a home run swing, and they're in a great place. They're in a great place to do it.
You're gonna have to pay these guys at some point. They're gonna be on rookie contracts forever.
I think next summer is when they got to start handing out that money.
Like, when do they have to win? Like really win? Like, win the title? Are we talking this year, next year?
It's an interesting question because I think last year was the no expectations year.
Mm-hmm.
And they did cool.
It felt like they exceeded last year, no?
Yeah. And I think this year is kind of like, all right, we want to see some stuff. And J-Dub made the All-Star game. And Chet obviously went down with his injury, but we're feeling really good about where he's at. And Shea is MVP contender. I don't think he's going to win it, I think they had that straw poll at ESPN this week, and those are always like spoilers. So I don't think he's going to win it, but it's now. Like the West looks right for the taking. Obviously, they're the number one seed, and they're far ahead too. And they look like the best team. So I think it's starting now, and we'll get to a point where, you know, that pressure will build. If we don't start seeing it, if they don't make a deep run this year, or we don't see them in June soon, it's going to start building. I think it happened with the Celtics. Start being in whispers, like, do you break them up? Do you break them when they finally made it to the finals? Like, okay, cool, they've made it. Now they got to win it. Similar trajectory. So I think it's now. Shea is 25. Yeah, it's time to start making this happen.
I think for two reasons, the time is now. Number one, you talk, D'Lo, you talk about they're going to have to start paying guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Clay Bennett want to do because aprons and all this other happens. So, like, that summer, I don't, like I said, I don't think it's this summer. I think it's the following summer when all these guys, the Chets, the SGAs, like J-Dub, they all up for that money. So I don't know what he wants to do at that point. The other reason is OKC's going to be good for a while. This is me projecting a little bit. This may be their best opportunity. Houston's right around the corner. They got deals to make too. San Antonio's right around the corner. We talk about Luka and the Lakers and all this other stuff. Right now, I think OKC is clearing away the best team in the West with nobody really close to them. I don't know if that happens any other time than this year.
Yeah, and they're not going to be one of those apron teams. It's, as an organization, it's straight away from that. And I think they're smart to be that because if this trade deadline taught us anything, it's you need to be out of the second apron at the least. You got to be able to combine contracts. You got to be prepared if a deal comes knocking on your door or you need to get rid of some guys and you need to attach pieces to help do that. That's why the Phoenix Suns got stuck and ended up not doing nothing. And that's why the Lakers could do the deal they did. That's why the Warriors could do the deal they did. And that's why, you know, the Spurs could do the deal they did because they had that opportunity and they had that flexibility. So the Thunder would be smart to stay out of that. And they're going to have to make some tough decisions going on. And I think everybody's looking at Lu Dort and saying, okay, even Caruso, you know, Hartenstein has been such a big part of what they do this year. But, you know, that might be a tough cut at some point as well. So it's like, yeah, let's capitalize this year. Let's really max out on the draft, give it another run, and then go from there and pick up the pieces.
Eddie, what you doing this weekend? You want to play back for any of this All-Star stuff?
I think I might be. I'm thinking about it. We'll see. I'm chilling though, man. It's kind of cold out here.
Mm-hmm.
Relaxing. What y'all doing? Y'all not going to the Bay?
KC going.
Yeah, I'm gonna get out there.
They ain't letting me out there. So no, KC no, going no, to represent no,
they,
the show.
They definitely will let this man out there. I'm going out there.
Hey, man, quick drive, man.
I said, why not, man? Like I said, I got a couple. I never experienced it, so that's number one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple of my buddies that I haven't seen in a while over at Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
No, yeah. It's not Michael Jordan. It's my guy that works at Jordan. I'm going to stop by over in Alameda and see him real quick.
Guy who owns Jordan.
No.
Guy who is Jordan. Eddie, you ever work for Michael Jordan? KC has.
I never have.
No, KC has.
Never have. Never got
It's a company, so yeah. Nothing. Like, yeah.
Yeah, your boss was Michael Jordan. Why are you embarrassed by that? Man, you get weird with this stuff, bro. I wonder
you got all them shoes, man. You wearing the Bread 11s today with that fit? Or you got the new Bread 1s?
Nah, look.
You got the bands on? Show everybody the bands.
No, definitely don't have the band. Right, this is just regular Bread 11s here. They said them band 1s on like the StockX and GOAT, they going for like $700.
Oh, no.
$700.
Oh, no. I got my old pair. I'm good. I'm good.
They only made 10,000 of them.
But they're going $700?
Yeah.
That actually doesn't seem like that much. For 10,000 pairs of shoes?
Yeah, big money.
That's a lot of money.
It seems like. I mean, because. No, because somebody. Stop. Like, because like the Chicago off-whites run like a couple thousand, don't they?
Yeah, but that's off-white, though. These are just the regular Nike Jordans.
Huh.
$700 is a lot of money.
Yeah, $700.
Kobe Crunches is only like five. And those were.
I'm definitely that old person that's like, I got enough black and red shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I need these ones too. You know, I'm still wearing my threes.
I got Supermans that I think have been worn once.
Yeesh.
I don't even rock those.
You got that stuff. I see it on the gram. You pull them out every now and then, man.
Once in a while. Mm-hmm. Once in a while.
Hey, that's how you got to do it.
He's him.
That's how you got this.
Stop it.
He's him.
Eddie, we appreciate you, man. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for tapping in with us as you do each week. We really appreciate you.
All right, family.
Yes, sir. So, man, Eddie Gonzalez, we'll be on the lookout for see what he's doing All-Star Weekend. We'll come back.
Jesse, that boy says 700 ain't nothing.
That's no, that's not what I said. That is not at all what I said.
You did
I thought
say
they
it's
would
not that much for that kind of shoe.
All right, man. I've had about enough of whatever is going on in this.
Well, I can't even
today.
Afford to talk to you, so we should probably go to break or something.
All right, back here. Appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. So, man, Aaron right there. James Hamm gonna join us at the top of the hour. If you're watching, you see that love is in the air. It ain't even gonna be for you, baby. See that? What a team player I am, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to old D-Lo. Shout out to old D-Lo.
Now, those are beautiful, man. Those are the Strelinski joints. Man, those are gorgeous. Those are extra long stem roses, man. Well done. Man, those are really nice.
Boy.
Those are really nice. Benzito says, I see y'all got my flowers. You're welcome. Next time, send a bouquet of tacos.
Man, when is it? Friday? Yeah, that's the next home game, bro. I got to be out there, bro.
Yeah,
I'm going to be out there anyway, but I got to
get a week from today. You got to what?
I got to get my tacos. I might get my tacos before the game, bro.
Well, yeah, don't show up after because you got to sign. You take autographs, sign pictures, do all of that stuff.
What?
And Ben Zeno's like, hey, man, we got to shut. How long you want us to wait for
Are you the guy who shows up 15 minutes before they're closed?
It was 5 minutes after they closed last time.
It's the worst. That's the worst.
And Tito, you guys there before the game. I'm gonna get my tacos before the game because I do a little champagne and campaigning after the game. So I don't want to hold nobody up.
I need the tacos though.
I need them.
Don't go to a food establishment if they're closing 5 minutes from by the time you're gonna get there.
Because they hate you.
Yeah, that's facts.
James Hamm will join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk a lot of Kings basketball. I'll be interested because I know you and James just differ on a lot of stuff. So I might just let you two fight.
They're not going to fight today. Like, there's nothing to fight about today because they lost.
Nobody's happy.
Like, they lost. Like, I ain't going to sit up there and defend these guys to the death. You lost. You got to wear all that other stuff that people say. I do want to say ask you something that you talked about earlier. Like, they're talking about the franchise isn't building anything and they just got no direction. What would you do? Like, would you tear this whole thing down? And when I mean trading Domas, trading these two, Levine, well, you might have to hold on to Levine, but trading DeMar and all that in the offseason, maybe you keep Monk, I don't know, but just tearing this whole thing down.
What could you get for Keegan Murray in a trade?
Probably not what you could have a year ago. I don't think you have to trade Keegan Murray, by the way. I'm not done with Keegan Murray. I'm not out on Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray's a three-year player. I do have concerns that he's like a 25-year-old three-year player or whatever it is. There's a certain point where it's like, yeah, this is who he is as a basketball player. It was my argument about Bogdan Bogdanovic after his first year. He was like 25 or 26 after his first year. It was like, okay, that's who he is. Yeah. Oh, he's going to grow. No, I don't think so. He's been a pro since he was like 8. Like, that's who he is as a basketball player. Mm-hmm. I'm a little concerning. Like, this might just be who Keegan is as a basketball player, but I'm not of the mindset that you have to trade him. I would listen, but to your question, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what the I don't know how you fix all of this. Like, you don't have, and you know what the truth is? You probably can't. So you might have to survive scrapping and clawing year to year trying to get to the playoffs. Until maybe Levine's contract is done. Like, if you're tearing this down, you're committing to being the Jazz. Or, like, because the Jazz, it's clear what they're doing, right? I don't know. The Wizards are just bad. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to be that. But you want to commit to, like, we're done. and we're tearing this thing apart. We're pulling it apart like it's over, and we're going to build through the draft. The Kings can't build through the draft right now. And it's why when we talk about future, I don't know what their I don't know how you feel positive about their future. Partly because even if you really like DeMar, even if you really like Zach LaVine, DeMar is older. Zach LaVine, yeah, I don't know. I just didn't dislike Zach LaVine as much as James and many other people did. But I also I'm watching him like I watched. You know, he had his best offensive performance as a King last night. And I can still find maybe a more than a handful, maybe a dozen plays where I was like, come on, man, what was that? And like three of them were in overtime. And sometimes it's shot selection. Sometimes it's just like I don't care as much. About, I mean, I know that the teams need to play defense. I know that they need to be better defensively. But like, they're, you know, him and DeMar had plays where you're giving the Pelicans extra possessions. And in a game like that, you can't do that because it got to the point. They paid off those extra possessions, and all of a sudden you were in a fight. Then you were getting you just started getting your ass kicked as the game got so out of hand. Everybody just quit. They turned the ball over again. All right, it's over. We blew it. I'm not trying to cop. I don't know what the answer is because I don't feel like there is one.
This team is cooked, honestly.
That's honestly what it feels like. I don't know what you're going to say next, but it feels like they're cooked.
They're cooked unless they work around this roster again. You're not winning anything with this roster. You're not. Like, call it what it is. I talked about it earlier. Zach LaVine is not someone who's going to take you anywhere. He could be a third option maybe or whatever. DeMar is going to be 36 next year. After next season, his third year, I think, is non-guaranteed some of it or whatever. So maybe you're probably looking to move off of him if it's not working. Like, Sabonis is a great player, but he's not taking you to the playoffs or anything like that. He's just not that type of player. Malik, like, it's just you don't have it. This team is cooked. You're rebuilding after next season if this is the roster. So you have to either... Hopefully some teams still see something in Keegan this offseason. Maybe you trade him and you can get something of decent value there. I think Jeff Teague brought up like a Trae Young or something like that as an idea or whatever. Maybe you, like we talked about players with warts last year, but this roster right here, it's cooked. You're going to rebuild after next season.
So the thing about that, and I don't think anything neither one of you guys said was wrong, but, and it's not, You can only focus on what you've got going on. But how many of those people are in the league? Like, how many of those people that can... There's less than 10 that, like, can change your fortunes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there aren't
like,
very
we
many.
Talk about, like, Zach LaVine and, you know, and DeMar DeRozan. And I think a lot of times people look at them like they got to... Like, the way people talk about them is they're looking at them to be some type of perfect player. I can go up and down the standings and watch these guys play, and they do things that frustrate the fan base or people watching them. We love Anthony Edwards, and I think he's a franchise-type player, and he probably does a lot of stuff that frustrates Timberwolves fans or anything else. De'Aaron Fox was just here, and on a nightly basis, he would do things that would frustrate people. There's like less than 10 of them in the league that can get away with maybe some of the frustration. Joel Embiid was one of those guys, and he didn't work. So, like, I look at some of these guys and the warts that they have and the negative aspects that they have, and I don't want to say I just accept them, but maybe I do. It's like, yeah, he's going to force a shot, or he's not always going to be aggressive or something. Like, that's what happens. You have to build a good team around those guys, and you got to kind of just get lucky with some of this stuff too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
One of the things that really, I think, really kills this team more than anything, and I hate to keep going back to it, is that draft pick. Because when you talk about you have nothing and you have no hope and it looks dark, think if you had Jared McCain. He'd be like, man, this team, it doesn't work. But let's move off this guy, this guy, this guy, and let's start to build around McCain or Jalen Wells or something like that. They don't have that. They don't have that, and it's two straight drafts where you don't have that. Hell, you could say three straight because nobody's saying let's build around Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
You got three straight drafts where you don't have a guy that you could say, all right, this isn't working. It's too timely, whatever. Let's scrap Sabonis and all this other stuff, and let's start focusing on how we build with Jared McCain. They don't have that.
Yeah.
And that's what
right.
helps
right.
to them being yeah. hopeless.
Yeah. And you mentioned something earlier when we first talked about this, the bulldozer that was the De'Aaron Fox situation. Mm-hmm. And at what point do you think the Fox is the centerpiece of what we're building around ended? Because my opinion is it didn't end before last. It didn't like that. The idea of building around De'Aaron didn't end last summer when they were negotiating with, or whatever was going on with Mike, and De'Aaron said, if you fire another coach, move, or if you get rid of Mike, move me, or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was the first time this Kings team thought about trading him or thought about maybe we're not building around De'Aaron Fox.
You think it happened last season, like during the season?
I wonder. Yeah, I wonder if it happened during the season.
Well, it was never really asked of me, so like I said, I'm not switching up. I believed that he was a franchise guy,
mm-hmm.
somebody that you could build around.
I did too.
I can also admit there was a lot of hope in that as well.
Absolutely.
It's like I think he can. Like he's not there today, but I believe and I hope he can get to that level of Dame yep. or
there was
all those guys.
You said it perfectly. There was a lot of hope when it came to De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. And you know, they to a certain degree, they don't get paid to deal with hope. Sometimes you gotta like really look and be like, no, are we sure that this is the guy? And we talk about a lot of chefs in the kitchen up there. I'm pretty sure a lot of people weren't sure he was the guy to start building around.
100%.
And I think maybe there were some people, I know, because they offered him extension, or maybe that was just a formality, like you had to do it. But I would have offered him the extension, tried to keep him here, and hope for the best. I wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was not 100% positive, mm-hmm. but that's how I played it out. And there's probably somebody in those meeting rooms that are like, I'm pretty sure. Judge, I ain't talked to none of the front office, so don't take this any type of way.
But
we talked
to
people who have been close to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
There were people who were dead set on, no, he's not it.
Yeah,
and I'm sure they weren't alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they might have that thought of moving on from him. Might have been there for a while.
I don't want to overstate this. It's been years. Like, I mean, as soon as that ink dried on that lad, that's not what I mean. I think we're really talking about last year,
mm-hmm.
before De'Aaron brought up anything regarding Mike Brown and his potential future. I wonder, because you asked earlier, how different is the future of the Sacramento Kings now than it was 3 weeks ago? And the truth is, I don't think it's that different. It's a little different because De'Aaron's younger, but if De'Aaron had been De'Aaron, just what we see as a player now, very good basketball player, on 5 and 296, conversation would be extremely different around him. And it happened the last time he signed a contract extension. There started to be a shift in the way he was talking about. It would be that times 10.
Do you think this team's headed in the wrong direction right now?
Yes.
So then have they always just been headed in the wrong direction then? We thought like maybe De'Aaron could be the guy, but now we've learned, yeah, it probably wasn't the case. So now knowing what we know, was this just headed in the wrong direction with this front office? Because they were building around De'Aaron and all that.
The addition of Zach LaVine, I think, was the nail in the coffin. Hmm. Not Zach LaVine's a good basketball player. Let me try this again. The acquisition of Zach LaVine was a nail in the coffin of the future. I don't know what De'Aaron Fox looks like on the open market. I don't know what a De'Aaron Fox trade looks like on the open market. I don't know what De'Aaron Fox trade looks like two weeks ago if the Kings weren't trying to acquire Zach LaVine. But you couldn't land any like solid first round picks out of that. Like none that you could just look at and go, you know, we can work with what we have, but we've got a couple of, you know, we got a couple of extra draft picks coming up here in the next two drafts, or, you know, two of the next three drafts, or however it has to work to work. And yeah, we could really work with that. You didn't. You made the decision. We're going to go get a player who we think could help us continue to win now.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.